Like, I need to be like taller.
And hello, and welcome back to Pathways with me, your host, Todd Allen Baker. We're here from the home again. I've decided not to go back into the podcast studio. I like the atmosphere from home, and people have said they like the atmosphere at home. So I'm just going to continue to shoot from here because I just kind of like it and it sounds good. And I don't have to go to the podcast room, and it's kind of homey and I like it. So, today we have a great guest. It's kind of our anniversary. I met this guest, Kim Griffith, 20 years ago, almost to the date. I was coming back to do my last contract, and I got hired last minute to do my last contract with Royal Caribbean. And I was a week late because I was in Australia. And by chance, this wonderful woman, at that time, she was a child. But I wound up and we were like inseparable from then on. And we've always been great friends. And she has a great story, and I'll let her tell it and what she's doing now. And it's great because we've never had someone on here that does what she does. And she's had many different pathways as well, which is, great that we call it pathways. So I would like to introduce my good friend, and she's near and dear to my heart. I call her my Kimmy Kimmy. And this is Kim Griffith. And hi, hon, how are you?
Hi, thanks for that. I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
It's so great to have you. I love being here and like just being in my own atmosphere here. Let me just get all the animals.
It's very cozy, like with your lamp and everything,
Yeah,
and like,
remember us in Hawaii? Yes, the very first
yes,
camp.
I do.
We had some good times in Hawaii. Yeah.
We had the yes, remember Little Beach.
We had Little Beach, and then we were driving around in our Jeeps. And yeah, we had some great times in Hawaii, you and I.
That
And
was so much
Waikiki
fun.
surfing. We went surfing together and took surfing lessons. Yep.
Yeah.
I sucked. I was horrible. I
I
was
remember I didn't want to. I didn't want to do
Absolutely
it.
horrible. So yeah, let's just go and we'll get started. And so how did you and where are you from and how did you get started dancing and performing, and what was your first beginnings into this career as a dancer? And now we'll transition and talk later about what you're doing now. But how did you get there? How did you get to where we met?
So I am from Columbia, Maryland. It's a town like right outside of Baltimore, Maryland. And I started dancing, super young, like 5 or something like that. And started taking ballet and then added in all the other disciplines, where a few years later, like my early teens, maybe even preteen, I met my dance teacher who was like my mentor, my other mother. Her name is Wendy, Wynette McGovern. She's incredible. She kind of took me under her wing, and after I decided I wanted to go professional, we like really started just working hard. That's when I chopped all my hair off, like around 14.
Now,
And
were you a
just
competition dancer?
I was a competition dancer. But when I cut my hair off, she was like, "Right, you're gonna cut your hair off." And that actually changed my whole like outlook on just my self-image and everything. I actually wrote my college essay about it. But yeah, I was a competition dancer the whole way through high school, so almost every weekend during competition season, I was out, on stage, which is great. I think it, like a lot of people, I think sometimes kind of roll their eyes at competition, but it was great to just get all of that experience constantly being on stage and having to perform and be okay with working in different environments. Because, you walk into a ballroom, you don't know where the stage setup is going to be, how big the stage is. So it helps you be really versatile. And I loved like the workshop competitions where you were in class all day and then danced all night. Like that was just, those are my favorite, like getting to dance with the teachers and take, learn combos and
All
stuff like
the
that.
conventions, as they call them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. Conventions. I know I'm not like up on my lingo. So yeah, I loved
Get
those.
into the times,
I
convention time.
know. Well, it's so funny because I've like, I've kind of gone, to where we are now. But so yeah, I was dancing and then I got into Point Park and I went to Point Park for a year. But I didn't ever really want to go to school, but my grandma was a teacher. So my mom was like, "You have to go to school." So I was like, okay. So Wendy, my dance teacher, was like, Kim's gonna audition for Gus Giordano. We had gone to Gus Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago, like this big convention they, you know, have every year in the summer. And I auditioned for Giordano, and they invited me for a scholarship for one semester. So my mom was like, you go to school for a year first and then you can go for the summer semester. So I said, okay. And when it came time to start my summer semester with them, I wrote back and was like, I just want to check in, make sure everything was good. And they were like, come back and re-audition so we can see you and just remember who you are. And I was like, okay, cool. So I re-auditioned at the studio in Chicago, like in Evanston at Gus Giordano's, and they extended my scholarship to a full year. So then I told my mom, like, I'm stopping school. You could put your scholarships and all of that on hold for like a year. So I did that with no intention of going back. But my mom didn't know that at the time. And so I went to Chicago, fell in love with the city, and just danced. I was dancing like, I don't know, 30 hours a week, just in class constantly. We were dancing with this company and the second company. So I was out
for
there
Gus,
and then
right?
Came time for Gus. Yeah. So with Gus
Giordano, what
a
great company. What great training.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was incredible. Like it just the experience that I got out there just getting to
Is
take
that
class.
Company
like
still around or did it close?
They're still around. I think they're still around. Yeah. I think they're still around. So then it came time to, they were having like their scholarship show. So they did this show at the end of the year. But I just, that were all the scholarship kids, which I was on scholarship there. Like they, the company members would set pieces on us and stuff like that. But I had auditioned for Royal Caribbean a couple weeks ago, or a couple weeks prior to us starting rehearsals for the scholarship show, because my mom had been like, okay, your year's coming up. If you don't start getting paid to dance, you have to go back to school. And I was like, well, I don't want to go back to school. Like, I'm not knocking school, but it just, I knew it wasn't for me. I wanted to start dancing right away.
And you're not the first dancer that had said that.
Right.
And I left early as well, because I started performing, and I think I'm still the only person that's ever done this at Ball State University. I kind of had a similar thing. I started working professionally halfway through my dance career. And it was like, I had credits left and a couple of real classes left, but I had like a slew of dance credits, and I'd been performing professionally during the summer. And I got hired on again at Opryland and Busch Gardens, but you could go to down to Busch Gardens and you could take classes there, like University of South Florida, and graduate, etc. So I was like, I need to graduate and get out of here fast. And I told them, I was like, I'll do my own show. Cause you know, it's the top show, right? You know, I would never want to be center of attention, but
none of us ever would.
never would I want to be center. But I did my own show to graduate early. And then I left with like three academic courses left. And because I was done, and I was like, I've been professionally dancing. Not that I was good. Not that, I mean, at that time, best mediocre. But I was getting hired and learning on the job to be better. And
you get so much experience.
Yeah, you got so much experience working with all these professionals that I was like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be learning to graduate to do. And so can I leave? So they let me put on my own show, etc. And like, but it accounted for stagecraft, lighting, and all the other stuff. And I had to design it. And I was done. I was like doing what I was supposed to do. So it's not knocking education. I went back and I finished. I took two classes at USF. And then when I got my first Broadway tour, I took my last class and faxed it back in the day. I faxed in my stuff and then graduated that way. It took me a minute, but I graduated because I wanted it. But I was like, I'm performing professionally. This is what you're training me to do. And I've already been doing it for
And you're doing
years.
It, yeah.
And That's I learned how, so, more on the job. College was amazing. It taught me so much. It gave me a foundation. The people are still amazing. I'm going back up there next week to do a reunion. But yeah, it wasn't for me anymore.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like Point Park, it's an incredible school. And I learned so much in the year that I was there too. But it just, some people are learn differently, you know, and that was just not I just knew that that was not an environment that was my best learning. And so then when I went to Giordano full time for the year as a scholarship student, I was like, this is basically like part of my college education. Like this, I learned so much at Giordano's. And then,
I think
it was
you
kind
and
of
I
one
are
of those fork in the
alike
road moments.
With things like this, like academia. Now I'm better as I'm older to study, and I had a learning disability. So I think back then, and I learned to work with it, and my, you know, got my grades up and did everything and, you know, graduated very well. But I think with today's technology, I would even be better in school. But I think for me and like for you, even though like you're a brainiac and you're smart as well, that we would have been different as like what you said, academia, like an American Music Academy or AMDA, where it was the fast track into our career without the academia.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, it just, I don't know how I had the like forethought for this when I was, you know, 18, 19 years old, but I was like, I don't want a BFA in jazz dance and a bunch of debt to go with it. I want to work while my body works, and I'll go back to school later while my brain is still working. So that was kind of my thought.
I like
so,
that. I
yeah,
like
so
that. I've never heard it that
yeah,
way. I like that. Dance while our bodies can dance and our brains are always going to be there. I like
right.
That
was my
bit of
yeah,
magic.
That was just,
a bit of magic.
Yeah. So like it was kind of a fork in the road moment because I was in Chicago and my mom was like, it's getting your scholarships and stuff are about to like have to go back on. So like, you know, you need to start getting paid to dance, or you have to go back to school. So I just started auditioning. My roommate and I just went and auditioned all over the place. Like we auditioned for River North, which actually, you know, River North's audition at the time was a ballet bar, and they would come around and tap you after every exercise. And I think I got cut at like Rond de Jambe, which I was really proud of myself even for that. Like I was like, there,
and that
you know,
was scary, right?
Yes, it was terrifying, but I was
and
like,
it's
you know
funny
what? I just,
now that you kind of work for the company that Sherry like founded and choreographed for.
Yeah, it's so funny because like I just was like, I
you
know I'm
teach
not
Sherry's
gonna be a River North dancer,
which is like amazing now. Look
yeah,
how
I
full circle.
You just go to all these auditions. Like I went to auditions that I was like, I know I'm not gonna like get into Joffrey Ballet Second Company, but I'm gonna just audition. You know, so I just went to all these auditions.
And we've
And
said it before, auditioning is the key. Just put yourself out there. Because
you just have to go.
Auditioning is a learning process in itself.
It really is. You learn so much. And it's kind of fun too. You know, you get kind of a free class out of it because you're learning combos and stuff. So it's so funny because I actually almost didn't go to the Royal Caribbean audition because I was sick as a dog. I was so sick, like feverish and like I felt awful. I actually say that my Royal Caribbean audition kind of cured me because I danced and sweat so much that day that I think I sweat. Like, I think I had like a flu or something like that. Like, but I almost didn't go because I felt terrible in my room. I was like, come on, just go. Like, you'll feel better once you start dancing. I was like, you're right. So just grab a cup of tea and out we went. And we were there all the way till the end. And so, you know, they were like, you know, if you say ASAP, like, are you really ready to go ASAP? Which at the time I didn't know that they really meant that because, you know, now I know. Like about replacements, but I said, yeah, ASAP. And like a couple of weeks later, they called me and I was like, yep, mom, I'm not going back to school. I'm getting paid to dance. I'm going on the Vision of the Seas. Like, and I was just so, so excited. So I packed up all my stuff in Chicago and raced home and then got ready for my first contract and then walked into Park Colony and you came a few days later. And then you
and
and
what
Troy
a great
were like,
time.
My...
I mean, because
it was
A,
amazing.
It was an older ship, but B, we got to be a takeout of two new shows.
It was incredible. You know, there's nothing like your first contract. And I think your first contract can really make or break your career. And our cast was so amazing. You and Troy like took me under your wings. Like I just say you guys are like my two dads the whole contract. Like,
we were your two dads. We were.
You were like,
and
still
I mean,
love
look
that
how
photo
much that cast means to me. I've had three. Now you're like number four person from that cast that's come on.
That was an incredible cast. Like just what an incredible group that was. Like, remember even on the ship, they had like a goodbye party for us in the theater because they were going to miss us so much. Like they don't do that for a lot of casts. Like,
no. Well, we were pretty
it was
awesome.
So much fun. We were pretty great to toot our own horns, but it, again, the run was amazing. Everything, that contract was incredible. And
it
just made me.
I'm glad I exited on that.
That was a good, yeah, like your first contract and your last contract are kind of like so important. And yeah, like that was such a great contract to end on.
And I'm glad I went back because my last one kind of didn't end so well. I mean, it was a fantastic cast, fantastic contract, but there were bumps, not from the company, bumps in life. And then I changed. And of course, we all know what happened. But then I'm glad I went back for one more and bookended it with
that. That you were
You're
supposed
right.
to. That's
I've never
like
heard of it
that
way, and I've thought of it that way. But when you vocalize it, it's true. Your first contract can make or break you, and you want to end on a good note.
That was such an incredible time. So I feel like our whole cast thinks fondly of that contract as well. Like, I think you can't help but smile. Like, it was just a great group. Like, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was 20 years ago. It's so funny because, like, I, you know, you think when you first start out, you think you're going to remember every sign on date, but I don't. But April 6th, I always am like, oh my gosh, it's another year with them. So here we are 20 years later. I can't believe that.
That's awesome. I think that's great. Yeah. And here we are 20 years later, friends. And
I know.
So from there, you did your contracts and then I left you. And then, I know you went back.
I cried so much that sign-off day. I missed you guys all so much. I cried.
I know.
So much
you and I used to call each other all the time. We were like daily callers. What are you doing?
Yes.
We for like over a year or two, we were like still in touch. From there, how many more did you do? How long were you a professional dancer on the ship?
I stopped counting after I hit double digits. But in total, I was a professional dancer in the shows for 10 years.
Yeah, I stopped at 7, like 6.5, 7.
Yeah. Yeah, 10 years I did it.
10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That has to be at least 15 to 16 contracts.
It's probably somewhere around there. I should go back and like sit down and count it because I did. Once I hit double digits, I kind of was like, I don't even want to know how many I'm doing anymore. So I should like sit down, because I did a couple replacements and stuff like that in there too. Like, replacements definitely count as contracts too. I mean, you
learn. Oh yeah, I count them as contracts. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and tell the audience what a replacement is.
So you start out in the studios, like Royal Caribbean has their own production facility. It's now in North Miami. Back when we met, it was in Hollywood, which is so funny. I was just talking about Hollywood the other day. But so we start out as a cast. Our cast was a cast of 12. The casts are much bigger now, but so you start out with the intention that you're going to all learn your shows together in the production studios and then move to the ship together as a unit on your sign-on day. And then you sign off, you know, however many months later as a unit still, but you know, things happen because it's, you know, it's a physical art form. So, you know, someone's voice goes down or they have to sign off because something happened with their family, or they, you know, have an injury that just won't let up. So someone will get, or, you know, the bad one, someone gets fired, you know, there weren't too many of those, but you know, if someone has to go home for some reason, they can't come back, the studios will send what's called a replacement. And they'll try to find people like, hey, have you done at least one of the shows before, to make it a little bit easier on the dance captain or the vocal captain.
Yeah,
so they'll say, hey, you know, like that's how I did the Voyager of the Seas. Cause they were like, oh, you know, Broadway Rhythm and Rhyme. And actually, I knew sections from part of the other show as well. So I was able to quickly go into the shows because it was really more of just a review and like, oh, this is the state. This is what the show looks like on this stage. So you're going to use this wing. So yeah, whether you're a singer or dancer or whatever you are, you go straight to the ship and join the cast. The dance captain or vocal captain, aerial captain, if there's aerial in the shows, will get you into the shows. They just teach you on board and you just join in.
And sometimes
with the cast.
You have 2 to 3 days to learn a whole show.
It's yeah. Like when I signed on and did my Voyager replacement, I did 2 Voyager replacements. And I think the second one that I did, cause I had already done Voyager before, the second show was different, from when I had been there last. But when I, signed on, I looked at the dance captain. I was like, I know this show. And I was here a couple of years ago. So we literally spent like 6 hours in the theater. We just reviewed choreography and she gave me my numbers. And the next day I was basically in the show.
Yeah.
Like this costumer, cause the costumer that came like just did all my costumes really quickly. And yeah, so I was within pretty much all of the show the next day. Like, so I joke around, like it only took me 6 hours to get into, you know, Broadway Rhythm and Rhyme.
Right. I mean,
You
if you've
know.
done it, and that's what they like to do. If you've done it, then it's easy for you just to come in, you know, kind of push me where you are, like review what track, and then you might be on the opposite side of the stage, but it's just a different wing, a different ship, a different show. So
So they just try to make it as seamless as possible. So they kind of, you know, keep like a database, like, oh, you know, Kim has done these ships and these shows. So like, oh, she might be good for a replacement for here, you know, so they will try. They're really great about trying to get someone that knows at least one of the shows, if not both of the shows. So, you know, because then it just makes it as seamless as possible for everybody on board, and you're not in a reblock for so long, and then away you go. And it's nice because you go straight to the ship. It's maybe like 3 or 4 months, you know, depending on when the person had to leave. So it's just a quick little, you know, you can earn some cash and then you're back home in a couple months.
And to be honest, I loved being a replacement.
I love doing replacements too.
I am not a person that likes to sit in rehearsal for 5 weeks, going in and out for like 8 hours a day, dancing. Like, I want to be perfect and get it right, but like, I'd rather just be pushed into the show, get my 3 or 4 months out of it, and be done. Like, rehearsal is just not a month and a half rehearsal person.
It's a hard, that's rehearsals and then install. That's really the hardest part of the process. Yeah. Like, it's just, you know, rehearsals is tough because you're just constantly dancing and you're so sore, and it's exhausting. And then install, you know, it's tech week. So that's exhausting
hard.
In a different way, you know.
Well, I just love having my brain like that to go, just push me around, teach me the show. I'll get in there in 4 days and be done with it.
Yeah, so it's a lot of people I think didn't like it, but yeah, I loved doing replacements, like, cause it's just, and then you weren't away from home for quite as long.
No.
You know, but you can still get a cute little check and away you go.
Yep. 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 Grab the check, go. Do your job.
That's right.
Yep. So you did that for 10 years, and now let's go ahead and segue to what you do now, because I think this is very special, and I kind of want you to really go into this and deep dive into what you do now. So what, you stayed with Royal Caribbean. So what is your job with Royal Caribbean as of now, and how long have you done it?
So now I am they call it rehearsal choreographer, or because I mostly actually do installs, sometimes they'll call it like install director or install choreographer. But basically I'm a rehearsal choreographer for Royal Caribbean still. So
explain what that is. So like, people know where to, if they ever want to journey out of this, like what's the process, and what do you do, and how'd you get into that?
Well, the first thing that you would want to do is, while you're on contract, they have opportunities for supervisors while you're still a cast member. So you would want to become either a dance captain or a vocal captain within your cast, because you take notes on the shows, you learn how to manage just the cast, you learn how to manage a team and then work with people on the ship. So it gives you a lot of kind of the foundational skills that you'll need to eventually, you know, you work with you learn how to communicate with the office. So you would want to be, you know, go for dance captain or vocal captain in order to get into something like that, like either rehearsal director or vocal director. And then, you know, like, because if you're dance captain and a replacement comes, you're the one that's teaching them in the show. You're the one that's teaching them the shows.
Right.
So you have to know the show inside out. You have to know all the technical elements and all of that. So it's actually how I got into it. I was towards the end of my career, and I was kind of like, okay, I might have one or two more contracts happening in me. Like, I was old by that, you know, by dancer standards. I was like 29. I was about to get married, like all of that. So I was kind of winding down, and I was dance captain on a ship, and an email came through, and Lisa at the time, she was the one who hired the rehearsal director. She said, hey, like, do you want to install Tango? You've been with us a long time. Do you think that's something you could do? The cast is really seasoned. Half of them have done it before, so it should be a pretty easy situation. And I'd never actually even thought about becoming a rehearsal director after I stopped dancing. I didn't, it was just something that had not crossed my mind, which I don't know why. But because I'd been dance captain for years at the time. But so I stayed on board after my cast left, and I installed. That was my first install. I was still technically a cast member, but I installed the cast when I came aboard, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, "This is incredible. I love this." So I, stayed in contact with her and said, "Hey, I would like to do this when I, finish dancing." And she said, "Okay, make sure you're done dancing, and then we'll switch you over." So then I interviewed with her. And so what happens is, we have our production studios in North Miami now. So the rehearsals that you were talking about, for the audience, where we spend like 5, 8, 10, sometimes it's like 12 weeks. Some of the shows are so big, even some of the musicals and stuff, they're in rehearsals for months now.
Oh,
so
really?
We learn. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Like the cast I just worked with, they went to rehearsals January 4th, and I just got off the ship on March 24th.
What show is that?
It's the Odyssey of the Seas. There's two shows. One show is called The Effectors, which is the world's newest superheroes. It's about, it's kind of like show effects. Like the superheroes are Pixel and Reverb and Captain Biz and who else is it? Loom. So, all the effects, show effects, and they band together against Crash. So that's one of the shows. And then the other show we have is called Showgirl, Past, Present, and Future.
Vicky's show.
And it's just, what's that?
Vicky's show.
No, it's not Vicky's show. Actually, Zachary Venegas, Vicky actually, I think, helped him a little bit with it, but it's Zachary's show.
No, that was Vicky's creation, but Zachary did most of the choreo.
He did the choreo, and it was so cool because I actually got to work with Zach this last install, and he is just such
because
a beautiful
that
soul.
Has the can-can in it, right? The, like,
yes.
Can-can, because I've done Vicky forever, right?
That so, can-can is a
and
long
that was like, that show, I've watched that show. That show
yeah.
is awesome.
It's amazing. It's gorgeous. The costuming is gorgeous. It's, yeah, so it's a long
good
process.
Old school Vegas that we don't get anymore.
Yeah, it's a great, it's a fan, they're both fantastic shows. But yeah, they start, it's a massive cast too. So they
one of the
start.
Biggest casts at sea, am I correct?
Well,
for a while there it was. It's like 29 people, right?
It's, I think Odyssey's 24. No, I can't remember. Like now that I'm off, I can't remember. I think Odyssey's 24. I think Spectrum is 28. But some of the musicals have even more.
Right.
Like, like The Wizard of Oz, there was a picture of them for their opening. I was like, oh my God, look at all those people on that stage. So the cast are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's a long process. Yeah, they started in the studios January 4th, and install started the very end of February. It's like a 6-week install. I got on board for the tail end of Effectors install because another director started it. So I got on board for the tail end of Effectors, opened that show, and then we spent a couple weeks doing Showgirl. And then, yeah, I got off March 24th. So that was their whole rehearsal and install process. What's that?
How long were you on board?
About a month. Well, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It was 2 8-day and a 6-day cruise. So yeah, 3 weeks. So what happens is the cast learns all of the material in the studios, but we tape down the dimensions of the stage and do the numbers and stuff and say, hey, you're going to enter wing one. But the shows are so technical these days that we have some stuff, like there's some set pieces that we can use in the studios, but it's not quite the same. So they learn the meat of the shows in the studios. They learn all their vocals, choreography, staging, all their information. They really develop like their characters and all of that. So that all happens in the studio. And then when we get to the ship, there's handovers with the cast now. So we don't go right into costume fittings usually.
That's what I heard.
So it's a little bit different to how we used to do it because it's just so technical. You need more time. So the cast that's current keeps performing the shows while we get in there and work every day. And then install is tech week. So we add all of the technical elements to the shows, make sure the cast is safe and knows about any issues or anything that could hurt them when the pit's going down, when walls are coming in, when there's set pieces that they need to be aware of. So we add that, we start adding the sound elements, adding lighting. There's an aerial coordinator that comes on and gets that, like does their skills and gets them actually working with the riggers on board. So we just keep adding the layers in during install. And then once the current cast performs their show, their final show, we grab the costumes from them, wash them, then go right into costume fittings. And then the wardrobe team, they work so fast to get the costumes up and running because then we work the quick changes and just get them like moving and singing in their costumes so that everything, can be altered and set for their contract. And we do a few costume runs. check out their makeup, and then we open the show, and then we start with the next one. So mostly what I do is the install portion. I don't usually go to the studios because, again, you know, we're saying we're not rehearsal type people. It started when I was living in Canada. It was easier for me to just go straight to the ship, and then it kind of just worked out that that's kind of the, I love that part of the process too. Like, so it just
and
really
works out.
That's
what I'm trying
way.
To do. I'm getting all my material to go do that too. It's better
yeah.
for celebrity because it's still a 2 week install. Just with my life, I can't be gone with for a month. But like,
yeah, it's
celebrity
difficult.
Still
like
a
the
2 week for royal.
Yeah,
royal
there's
interview,
you
I can
rarely
still,
find.
I can do the parades because that's a week and a half or 2 weeks, but I can't be gone for a month at a time.
Yeah, it's you rarely find a 2 week install anymore. The shows are just so much bigger
celebrity
now. Like
still
there's just
does
so
them.
much. Yeah, for Royal, like, and you know, they're the only, I'm loyal to Royal, they're the only people I work for, so, you know, it's just, it's rare, so yeah, between, I mean, some of the smaller ships are 2 week installs, like, I'm doing one of the smaller ships, I'm doing Indy in a couple months, and I'm only doing one of the signature shows, so I think I'm only on board for 9 days, which is, that's a little quick one, but it's, their other show is Grease, so most of the install will be Grease, and I don't usually work on the Broadway shows because that is a very, that's like a 3 month commitment,
Which
and
are
I
you going on
can't.
the Harmony? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm going on Indy. Indy also has Grease. Independence of the Seas.
Oh, you gotta like say the whole thing. I don't know
right.
all. I mean, I'm up on the Royal, but I didn't know all the terms. Sorry.
All the nicknames. I know. I forget.
Sorry.
I know, I forget. So yeah, but that's one of the, it's so funny because that was a Freedom Class ship, or it's a Freedom Class ship. Those were like the big ones when we were dancing, but now those are our smaller ships. So, yeah, I'm only on Independence for like 9 days. So,
oh, I could do
you know,
that.
just to do.
Good to know. Good to know. I can talk to the person in charge. I can talk to Enrique about that. Good to know. Finding things out.
That's like very rare though. Like the last time I
I'm
did
a
a
good
nine
for
day
rare.
install.
I'm good for rare.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time I did a 9 day install was, I think, before the pandemic. And because it's just one show. So,
right.
So yeah.
I'm good with learning one show. I'm good. Going out every now and then. I'm good. I'm good with a parade. So the great part is now let's kind of go into that. Well, here's the thing I think is wonderful. So with you being an install, you're not just looking like coming on board and looking at dancers and singers and cleaning. What you've had to learn over your years of experience is lights, sound, where sets move, technical stuff. So you're like right in the thick with the production manager, stage crew, lights, sound. Like it's not like you come on and look at the dances and go, oh, that's clean. Like you're involved of putting the whole entire picture together. Am I correct?
Yeah, we do it all, and it's you know, the teams are starting to grow just because the shows are so big that like they're starting to add more people on, like, so you know, I was saying I got to work with Zach for Showgirl. It's his show, so you know, he was cleaning it and all of that. I was kind of handling the tech and actually just kind of managing the production team, which is what they call all of like the installers and directors
Right.
And stuff like that. So like I'd, you know, go to the costumer and say, hey, I need like the quick change costumes by this day, and then can we have all of the costumes ready by this day? So, you know, I was kind of more liaising, being the liaison, which like with the bigger teams, you know, my role changes, but the smaller ships, yeah, like we did it all. Like I would block the show, clean the dancers. There's a vocal director who does like all the EQing and stuff for the singers. But yeah, I would block the show, clean the show, look at the lighting, tell them where all the tech elements are, you know, like yeah, you're dealing with every single part of the show. So you have to know the shows inside and out, you know, where, so that's why I say like dance captain and vocal captain are kind of like foundational. Cause like, you know, you're cleaning the show and you're dealing with onboard management. So it kind of lets you practice at having some of the skills to then be able to deal with all of the rest of it.
And we've said this before, never go into this business thinking, and I feel like dancers transition out more into what we're doing now than vocalists. Vocalists always kind of find another different, should I say, pathways. I feel like us dancers, since we're involved in so many different things, I feel like the dancers go into this, not just with ships, but I feel like dancers go into like either Broadway or community theater or do other things where, because we, for some reason, our brains work like that. Like we know where the sets are, or where the light is, or we have to hit our light or hit our blocking different than what other people was. And I just feel like the dancers know how to go in and direct and get involved in that. I mean, not that singers don't, I'm not saying anything bad, but I feel like we take that pathway a little bit more than a singer does.
Yeah, it, well, I always think of the vocal director is like, they're
which is
so
good because that's
highly
what we should be doing. We're never one thing. Don't ever think that you're just a dancer. Go when you're in these jobs. Doesn't matter if you're on a cruise ship. Doesn't matter if you're on a Broadway tour. Doesn't matter if you're on Broadway. Doesn't matter if you're doing Gus Giordano Company and you're working just at the Gus Theater and doing a small tour around Chicago, or, you know, Midwest area. When you go into the theater, learn, because that could be your next career.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, that's just the, just being so versatile and learning about everything. It helps just keep you valuable. But yeah, like I always think of the vocal directors. I mean, they're kind of like lateral, like me and the vocal director usually will run the install together. And then, you know, we kind of work with everyone, but I always think of the vocal directors as like super highly specialized. I mean, their ears are so trained. They have to also be able to play piano and work with the sound guy. So that's more than just like, I think a vocal director, you know, for a different company, like, cause they're having to work with the sound guy. Like, so their ear has to be so highly trained and specialized. So yeah, I always am in awe of the vocal directors because what they have to do is so, so specialized. Like it's just, and it's a huge part of it. So yeah, it's, I like, it's a nice, like kind of marriage, like the vocal director and I, like, we just kind of gel together and it's nice to have someone else to manage the cast with you. But yeah, as dancers, like we just have to be so versatile always that I feel like it's just kind of a natural progression to then just kind of step in and take over the rest of it. So you want to learn all the elements of your show and volunteer or try to get paid to go, like if you're not working yet or you're not dancing yet, go be a tech team for a little while because it's really good to know. I actually did, it was a one-off project after the pandemic. They were getting a show up. There was no cast on board. Well, there was a cast on board, but they weren't doing the show. But I actually went and just worked with the tech team. And I basically taught the tech team the show because I hadn't done it since before this. So like, but I had to know all of the technical aspects of that show to be able to teach a bunch of people who are actual technicians the show. So it's, yeah, just you stay so versatile.
you have to absorb and be that sponge. If you want, and this is why I've made this podcast, because, you know, unless we want to go into corporate or unless, you know, we go into something else, like, and we're going to segue, I'm into fitness. You're now into fitness, your other side job.
But even in corporate, I think that just being a dancer, like the poise and the discipline that it teaches us, like the way you present yourself, like at auditions and stuff. I mean, an interview for a corporate job feels like nothing after an audition. Like, It's you know, like auditions are so high pressure and you have to like be spot on perfect and get noticed, like, you know, in an interview, you're just sitting across the desk from someone. Like the first time I went, I was nervous the first time I went on a traditional interview, but I was like, this is so much easier. Like,
and we get personal skills from the other side jobs and doing what we do and conversational pieces that we can make from that. And I think, you know, to dive further into that, that was, I've not had like other corporate, I've worked in the industry or danced or do whatever, but it definitely has helped like being able to converse in a different way and connect with people. Because when you're on a ship, you're connecting or traveling with so many different nationalities and people and heads. I mean, and think about it. I mean, I've never thought about it this way. Aha moment. So we are corporate, even though we are a dancer on a ship. I mean, we are talking to the captain. We are talking, there's a hotel director. You know, there's a person who runs tours. So you're actually talking to corporate people and learning to
converse.
And they're usually not of your native background.
I always explain to people like outside of kind of that world, I say, you know, they say like, well, what is it? I'm like, well, we are a production facility and production company within a corporate company. So there is still a lot of corporate, you know, in what we do as well, because we have to adhere to a lot of that stuff, you know, like dress
Yeah, I
codes and
mean,
all
we
that.
had
You know, dress
rules. We
codes were
didn't
my
just go
favorite.
on and go, dee 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 dee, here we go, let's dance. Like,
Yeah.
there were rules. Like, we had to take, and I don't think we can go into this for people don't know. We had to take fire safety. We had to put out like different things. You had to be like part of and learn medical stuff. You had to like know where waste was, you know, where this goes, what this does on each sign on thing. So you learn a lot of different. I mean, I was on one ship and learned how to lower a lifeboat.
Yeah, you learn so many skills like
You like
outside.
pick up all these skills. And I mean, talking to people, I mean, you're part of a floating hotel. So you're answering to the hotel manager and the hotel director and the cruise director. And they're usually, you know, they're all from different national backgrounds that you're learning to communicate with people on a different level. So I never really thought of it, you know, in that context, but it is corporate. We've already worked corporate. Yeah. So you've done all this and you're still doing that, but on your part time, now when you're not on a ship, what is your jobs now?
So I always joke around and say I like to have like 700 careers, but a couple of years ago, I was kind of in between some contracts and some things had some installs had shifted around, so I had a little more time. And I've always been a big Bikram yogi. Like I discovered my first class like on a Groupon and fell in love with it and was like, I have to do this constantly because I felt incredible. After my even after my during my first class, I was like, I can't wait to come back tomorrow. So I was
I
having, you
missed
know,
yoga
as
today to do this interview, by the way.
oh no, now I feel terrible. You
No,
should have
I've
gone to
already been 5 days
yoga.
in a row. I've already been 5 days in a row. I just went to the gym. You're good.
I actually got to practice today. I taught and practiced. But I was having, you know, some life as we all do, and it kind of struck me. I was like, I've already, you know, I already teach dance, and if I already know how to teach, I should teach this yoga because it would only be right to like this container that's been provided for me to kind of fall apart. You know, it's just life was happening and I was falling apart in that room, and I loved the structure and the safety I felt in that room. And I was like, it would be a disservice if I know how to teach and I don't turn around and offer that same space and structure for other people, you know, because teaching yoga is really an act of service. So yeah, I walked out of class after it hit me and I was like, I want to go to teacher training. And just as things do when they're meant for us, it just everything fell right into place. And I started teaching in 2018, and it came in very handy during the pandemic because, you know, ships weren't happening for a while. So that's where I really feel like I hit my stride as a yoga teacher, because I was just teaching so many classes just to like keep my head above water and make the bills.
Right.
So yeah, it's incredible, and it's so funny because people are like, oh, your side job, but I just think of it as like my other career because I love it so much. Like I just love teaching. Like it's just like when we're teaching a dance class and you see someone get it, like whether it's in their mind or their body, and it's like, I'm leaving that little part of myself now with you. Like I helped you take this step forward or find this like revelation, you know. Or sometimes it's just I had someone burst into tears with me the other day, like after Camel, and I just walked up and gave her a tissue and I was like, you're okay. Like we've all cried on our mats. Like, and to be able to hold that space for someone, like it's just, you know, it's incredible to be able to do. So I love that. And then recently, I went to school last summer, and now I'm also a certified makeup artist.
And I mean, it comes in handy, right? Like now you actually help people, but it comes in handy because let's face it, like when you get into some of these ships, right? And you're being an install director, like some of these young girls that maybe are just coming out of the competition world, they don't know how to do show makeup.
Which is shocking to me, actually, the amount of people that I work with these days that do not know how to do accurate stage makeup. I'm like, what are you doing? So that's a message for studio owners out there. Get someone in there to teach your kids proper stage makeup because it blows my mind. So that's another.
Well, there's competition face, there's competition face and stage makeup too.
Well, there's, yeah, but there's both, and you should know both. Like, if you ever are walking on a stage, you should know how to paint your face. If you should just know how to look presentable. Some of these kids come in and they look like they're going to go to dinner. Like, that's the makeup they have on. And having to, like, having to explain to them, no, you can't wear that dark brown lipstick because under show lighting, it's going to look like you have black lipstick on like you're dead. And that's not the look we're going for. You know, like, so the amount of people that I've had to explain, like, you have, like, your stage makeup should look a little scary when you're up close. It shouldn't look like you're going to just go to Chops. Like,
we're not going to the local restaurant. We're not going to Golden Corral here.
Boggles my mind. So that's my note. I don't know if you have a lot of studio owners that listen to this podcast, but like, that's my note is like, please teach your kids how to do their hair and makeup for both stage competition. Just teach them how to look presentable, because it's shocking the amount of professionals that I get that we have to sit down and have like a makeup lesson with.
And for boys as well.
Yes, everybody. Makeup is for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's my note for the.
And that's my stamp.
That's because it's my true. Note. I'm sure I'll have more, but.
Well, I'll be honest, and I'll dob myself in. I did my makeup for years and years, on like tour and even ships and. Etc. 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 Like, I've done it since I was a child in theater, and you know, I took makeup in college and did, you know, I was always on my makeup until like after when it got to ships, like, and I know it's different for girls, but like for me, like I did not cake on the base anymore. Like, you know me, I had like a little bit on. I did a little bit here and there. But like the sweat and like, I mean, it's changed now, but I would do my eyes. I would do my eyes and I would do the liner, mascara. I would have lips. I mean, I have my lip glass. I had my MAC lip
glass. Yeah. That's what we all have, the MAC lip glass.
A little bit of cheek.
But that's more than what most male presenting performers are doing even these days. And, you know. Some of them come, and like some of our really specialized shows, like our 270 shows, there's like a specific look that they need to have, and they've never picked up a brush in their life. So you're doing your dancers a disservice if you're not teaching everybody, no matter how they identify currently, everybody needs to know how to have some sort of stage face on.
Wow. I never would have thought that.
Yeah, these boys come with nothing.
I thought you just know how to do your makeup. I'd probably be terrible at it now. I mean, it's not like I, you know, teach Pilates.
You would probably remember, but I would just say, and if you don't know how, get someone in. Have a little workshop at your studio. Get someone in. I'm a makeup artist. I am out for hire.
I'm up for hire, and you can Zoom me in. Go ahead and plug your socials if you want to on that. You can plug your socials. Go ahead.
Well, so my personal is Kim_SoulStrength, and my makeup page, which it's, I need to get some more content up there, but it's Soul Strength Stunner. So everything is Soul Strength. So yeah, come find me.
Do you hear that? Yeah. Makeup. And she'll show you how.
Yeah.
It just got to the point where like on ships, like the shows were so intense, like, I would sweat it all off, no matter how much foundation and powder I had. So, I mean, I did the basics after a while because my clothes were stained.
And to be honest, especially for like the shows that we were doing at the time, for the male presenting performers, you don't need to have a lot, but like the effectors, everybody has a specific character look, because it's such a highly, it's a character show, so like everybody has to, like one of our singers, they have to paint, it takes them, when they start learning their makeup, it takes them 2 hours, and then they get down and down and down, but they do like the full, like it's a green
Daniel Klinger
no
He works on like the he comes on, he does hair and makeup. Go back and listen to his podcast. He's been on a
I
lot.
will.
He's just right now on the Icon.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's setting all the stuff on the Icon.
So he's probably doing the effectors over there.
Yeah,
So
because
I
they have
wonder if
to
he
talk,
set the
right?
reverb makeup, like the green character.
Yeah.
That character has to paint for quite, it's a whole prep. So, if you've never done makeup before and you get hired for that role, so yeah, that's a thing. Like, just learn your stage makeup, like learn traditional stage makeup, learn competition makeup, just learn. And also just, you need to look presentable for auditions and whatnot anyways. So that's just one of my big tips.
Looking presentable for auditions would be a good thing.
And also just looking presentable in rehearsals.
Right. Okay. I can see that, you know. I don't have my blonde locks like I used to then. I don't
Oh
have
my God.
my tips. I have lost all the blonde tips that I had. My
Look
frog.
how presentable you still look, right?
Pardon?
You still look so presentable. I mean, you look exactly the same 20 years later.
Sort of, a little
I
bit.
know. I know. I love the facial hair, though.
Thank you. Thank you. Just, got to keep it trim. It's a new thing. So it's like sometimes I got to learn how to trim it. And I'm like, oh, I'm a little long over here. Let me just get. So that's taken some work.
It suits you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Miss Kimmy. So I'm going to go ahead and read what like this thing, and then you can tag on. This is a what I wrote years ago, and then I kind of made it for the podcast. But people have been adding on. Busy Bee actually started this. Busy Bee, who we had on, Lauren,
Yes.
very beginning. Lauren and Kim were roommates when we met, so it's kind of coming full circle. So Busy Bee was the first to add on to this, actually. So, and you can put your spin on it. It's a kind of a new thing that we're going to do. Remember,
Okay.
pathways are like that path when the sun touches the water. You don't know where it leads or ends, but you never know until you walk that path.
And you want me to just add
Yeah,
like
add
another
your perspective
sentence?
on that.
I think about the never knowing. It's just really having trust, or some people might say having faith, or whatever kind of discipline or genre you're into, like believing the universe has your back, like whatever languaging you want around that, just trusting that you're on the right path. And sometimes that means giving up control. Sometimes that means accepting things that don't work out how we wanted them to work out. Because one of my favorite sayings is what's meant for us won't miss us. So just knowing that you are on the right path and trusting that even when it doesn't feel like it, like you're gonna come out fine.
I'll go with that. I will go with
You can
that.
paraphrase that however you
No,
like.
I don't need to paraphrase. I think you explained it perfectly well. I think you explained it perfectly well.
Oh.
And I just think, I mean, that kind of always sums up now, like the words of wisdom that I used to like have for people. And I think that just kind of that adds in their words of wisdom now. Well, it's been great having you on here, and I'm going to keep you on, and we'll kind of close out the show, but I'm going to keep you on. And
Okay.
I think you've just been a great information because I don't think people know what really happens behind stage and the poof and the magic that it takes now for a cruise ship show to go up. It's not like a
A
hydro
lot of work.
light and like, here's your spotlight. There's a lot.
It's a lot of work that goes into that magic. So,
There's a
yeah.
lot of work to get that out to the front. And it takes a special human with a special brain to like manage and manage that circus.
Oh, I love it. I love the circus.
Oh, I
And
love
I
you.
feel so
I'm just
grateful
so
to be able
glad
to
that
do
we
it.
had our chat. We haven't had a chat like this in a minute.
We
And so,
haven't. I
I
think the
know.
last time we had a video chat is when I was stuck in a hotel with you.
Oh, yeah, we did have a video
And I was
chat.
so bored because I was fine, but I was bonkers bored
Yeah,
out of my
because you were
mind.
going to a ship and then you had COVID.
I got put off of a ship because I had COVID. I tested positive and they landed me because they were doing that at the time. Remember? What a time. What a time. But yeah, so they landed me. So I spent 5 days in a hotel by myself in Miami
Oh,
over
yeah. And
Easter
I
weekend.
forgot. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to video call you and we
I
chat.
was
Oh,
so
yes. I
bored.
forgot.
I was so bored because I felt perfectly fine. So I was just sitting in this hotel, like going nuts. Me and my mom had Easter dinner. I ordered lamb off of like
Oh,
Grubhub and
Bonnie.
they
I love Bonnie.
Bonnie, that's who you should have on the podcast.
What? Stage mom Bonnie?
Bonnie, yeah, that she would be
What
hysterical.
would my
So,
title for Mama Bonnie be?
oh my God, I bet you, I don't even know. I feel like you'd have to do the show and then you'd get a title out of it. But I mean, that would be, yeah.
I'll talk to
She would
Bonnie.
love
I'll
that.
text her.
Oh my God, she watches your Facebook page nonstop. And then she likes to update me. Like, she'll just be like, well, Todd's not doing Share in a Chair this year. And I'm like, Mom, like, she just,
Is that good, Bonnie stalking me, or is it called crazed fan?
she loves you so much. She always has. And you took care of her baby, like baby's first time out in the world. So she's eternally grateful, but she just thinks
Oh,
you're
that means so much to
hysterical.
me. I've never thought of it that way. That's sweet, Kim.
And she just like, I mean, you're just such a light. Like, there's a lot of nonsense, we'll call it, out there on the socials these days. And your stuff is always just like, you're just such a light. So yeah, she just
Oh,
loves
thank
you
you.
dearly, as do I.
Oh, I love you.
I love you
Thank you
too.
today. And like, follow, share, do all the stuff. And thank you, Kim, for coming on and explaining your world to us. It's great to have that viewpoint on. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.